A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa with my garbage truck.
The garbage compactor of podcasting studio that Jen's got over there. But no, we don't hear it at all. It's great.
Oh, good.
I mean, if you want to make some beeps so that we can hear what you're hearing and we can imagine it's a droid.
Beep. They're happy beeps because I'm happy to be here.
Hey, all right. Beep puns. We like that. We like that. Hey, we're here to discuss Star Wars news, breaking news from a long time ago. And yeah, it's sometimes we're in this period of time where all the focus is on the show, Kenobi, which, as it should be. So news is light, but we got some fun speculative stories coming our way today. Before we get to all that, we want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Does anyone still have an MP3 player? I want to know. A Zoom? Is that what? And that? I don't know. A little bit later, we have our Force Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. And we'll catch up ourselves, Star Wars and life adventures, before we get to the news. Jennifer, I'm going to start with you, only because, when we get to you before the trash truck comes back.
Yes, I think their work is done. Well, let's see. I don't want to start off on a negative note, but I will share that I did post a video last week about how much I'm loving Reva from the Kenobi series. And I was a little surprised because normally what happens with a video when I share it is that you reach like your audience, which is normally very, you know, supportive or at least very thoughtful. And then if it goes quote unquote viral or it reaches a wider audience, you might get some people that are there just to cause trouble and cause chaos, right?
Yeah.
So I posted it and pretty quickly I started getting these really negative comments, which I'm used to that. But I could tell already. I went, oh, I know where this is going. This looks very familiar. You know, the usual things, Mary Sue and, you know, her acting was mediocre. And I'm like, what? Are we talking about the same actor? You know, Yale School of Drama grad, please. So that was a little surprising. And it was just a little taste and a reminder of what actress Moses Ingram must have been experiencing and why she has disabled her ability to tag her on Instagram and things like that. And it made me sad. But there were a lot of people who were sharing how much they love the character. And quite frankly, TikTok was very supportive. Yay, so happy to find another Reva fan. And that was really heartwarming to see. And a reminder to me that we also have to share our things that we love, right? Which is what we do here. We celebrate the things that we love because oftentimes the people on YouTube and things like that are sharing the things that they don't like. And then that's kind of what gets amplified. But we love these characters. We love these stories. And so, you know, I think it's important to shout it to the rooftops, which I'm going to continue to do. But it was just surprising to see that.
Yeah, no, I saw your initial video, and then I saw your follow up video. Was your follow up video in a car, or was that just my imagination?
It was in the car at the mall. I'd had it.
It was so great because it really was that picture that I think so many people understand because so many people are on social media, you know, posting videos, things like that. Like I do my polish video, I get it out there, and then something happens. Like I was in the middle of eating, but I have to address this.
Right.
I thought both videos were really, really great. And I think that I have hopes because there is a different energy on this round of someone being attacked in this way, the way that Moses Ingram is, that, you know, your video had that same spirit that I'm seeing lots of places of like, no more, none of this, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think there is a spirit of there are more of us that the trolls come out and it is up to the people who are enjoying the performance, enjoying the character, won't stand for the part of it that's just blatant racism. And pushing back. And I think that both of your videos were great. And your second one in particular had that spirit of enough is enough.
Right. Right. And I do feel like that is definitely happening. And we saw it with the official Star Wars account on Twitter, just kind of clapping back and just like, we're not going to stand for this anymore. And I think that that makes a difference. And obviously Ewan McGregor in his car sharing his message. Yeah, I think that that's important to take a stand because, you know, some of these people, they really just want to stir up trouble is what it is. So
yeah.
I have no problem with people disagreeing with me, arguing with me, as long as if you're going to come with your point, bring some evidence, share something thoughtful as opposed to just kind of that copy and pasted Mary Sue argument, which I mean, can a villain even be a Mary Sue? That was, I was kind of wondering about that, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I saw that comment and I had to resist, we all have to resist that urge to let that shadow of anger pass because you want to go in like right. Start commenting back to folks and what does it really solve? I don't have the answers at all for this other than it's always disappointing. But I think you're right, Joseph. There's a different energy, just the energy even from DJ and the team over the Star Wars social media team. Just being more active, being more present is something. And I can't take on those that would go in those comments and come from pure hate. But I can, I don't know. I'm trying to have more and more conversations around the people who, I had this conversation with Ace Cabrera offline this week too, where he put out a nice tweet of just like, all right, maybe you might have some points about Reva you want to make. Look around you. Is now the time to make them? That's something. And you and I just have discussed offline, even comedy and there's no such thing as just jokes, or at least ask the why of it. The why is the big thing around here for us in Star Wars and I think in life. And yeah, that I think that's kind of what's I look at right now. Can I reach those people who don't realize they're part of the hate machine? They're just saying their opinion. Is that and what you think of Reva? Maybe you have a valid thought in your mind. I love the character, blah blah blah. But like, look around you. Just look around you. It's not needed right now. It's not maybe ever, but not right now. And that's where good. I'm at too on some of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's kind of a legitimate discussion of what, you know, we can't know without, you know, various studies and information from, you know, all sorts of sources of exactly where is this coming from. But in my opinion, from evidence of previous things, there's some Star Wars fans who are still wanting things to kind of just be the way they were, stay the way they were. They're Star Wars fans, but they are lashing out at, you know, inclusion and diversity. I think there are some Star Wars fans who are that. I think there are a huge chunk of people who are just aware that this is an issue to spread hate and don't care about Star Wars at all, right? Those are the people who are just like probably looking for your video, Jennifer, right? Like they're not Star Wars fans who want to hear a Star Wars opinion. They're people who are looking to make this an issue, you know? So I think there are those camps of people who are, you know, they're coming from a negative place. And then there are people who maybe, the Reva character doesn't work for them for whatever reason. And it's totally, that's all it is. Mm-hmm. But I so agree with Ace's perspective of look around. And even if that's your true opinion, I kind of jokingly said, anybody can think anything. People can think Ewan McGregor is a bad actor, which is mind-boggling to me. But that's a legitimate opinion because it's all subjective. But it's so important to look around and go, like, who might I accidentally be helping by needing to share this negative opinion at this moment?
Well said. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well,
sorry, like I said, Jennifer, didn't want to start off on a negative note.
You made a video celebrating this character, and that's how you started this discussion. And you just started it with the idea of let's make time to celebrate the things that we love.
Yes,
that's positive.
Yes, like we do here.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. What else did you get to do, Jen? Did you get to do something fun in Star Wars too?
No, but you know what's interesting is that I showed my my 6-year-old the video I caught of Chopper rolling around on the Celebration convention floor with their droid builder kind of off in the distance powering it. And my daughter was mesmerized. Because, you know, she loves Chopper and seeing Chopper come to life. And then I showed her, I was like, look, there's the person who's controlling Chopper. And she went, what? Oh, you can build? I'm like, yeah, they built it. What? Yeah. So that's kind of good. We're going to look into like a robotics camp or something for her this summer, because I think that she loves to make things and really seeing it in such a tangible way. And the person who was operating Chopper was younger, or at least they look younger. And it just became so much more real to her, that possibility. And that made me so excited. I was like, yes, this is what Star Wars is about. Getting kids into robotics.
Star Wars inspires in many ways, indeed. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that's so great. Yeah, we've had some great conversations at Celebration about the different ways that people have into Star Wars and what keeps them passionate. And that some people, it's the behind the scenes. It's how do they do all these things? So that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I also like the idea that your daughter heard that somebody was controlling Chopper and she was just like, that's impossible. Chopper cannot be controlled.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it was pretty neat. It was pretty neat.
Yeah.
That was my adventure.
There you go. Joseph, adventures for you.
Yeah, I had some good ones. My wife, Sarah, has been catching up on some of the Star Wars books that she wants to read. We both struggle to find a reading time, but she's been slowly reading away at the Star Wars book Resistance Reborn, the one that's set between The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, about Finn and Poe and Rey and Leia and Rose and all sorts of other characters from video games and comics working together to rebuild the Resistance after The Last Jedi. So she'd been kind of slowly poking away at it, and we had a little bit of afternoon time yesterday, and we were both like, well, we could watch something. And I was like, or we could just read. And Sarah read like half that book in one sitting because she was so excited. And it was just a really fun talk about celebrating. You know, it's been a while since we read that one, since we reviewed it. But I have these specific beats and moments that I just love. So I kept being like, hey, have you got, I don't want to spoil it yet, but I think when you're about halfway through the book, we can talk about this. Mm-hmm. And then I had told her, like, there's one thing that I absolutely love and I can't talk about it until you're done with the book. So I don't want to spoil it. It has to do with clothing. And that was just a great fun, just celebrating Star Wars and seeing my wife, you know, who's really busy, but a big fan, making time for it and then get to, you know, discuss it from the little details to the big ideas in that book.
It's great.
That's great.
Yeah. Underrated one too. In the pantheon of Star Wars books.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In a weird one.
Yeah.
Because it is so just, it's a big deal. It's set between those films. And that was what Sarah was like. Yeah. I mean, I read books that are like, she loves all the Leia ones, like that are with major characters, but she's like, I don't remember if I've read one that's like right in between the movies. Like this is when everything's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah. Mm. And then my other Star Wars adventure is I did rewatch the Clone Wars episode Lightsaber Lost. So everybody who's caught up on Kenobi, the shocking appearance of Tara Sanube, possibly, as people are pointing out now online, possibly just simply another of Tara Sanube's species.
Maybe.
But I fear it is indeed Tara Sanube. Anyway, if anybody is not caught up, if anybody's never watched his episode, it is a really great episode. And for me, it's just one of those great moments where I was talking to another friend who is like watches the movies and is really enjoying Kenobi. And I got to ask him, I was like, how did you feel about the Obi-Wan tomb scene? And they told me like how it worked on them in an emotional level. And I was like, yeah, that guy was Tara Sanube. And they're like, okay, you lost me. what's a Tara Sanube, right? They weren't in that level of engagement. Hadn't watched the Clone Wars. So everything in that moment in the tomb, what was going on with Obi-Wan, all worked emotionally. But then if you are all in, you want to go watch Lightsaber Lost from season two of the Clone Wars. That episode is all about mentoring and teaching. You know, at the end of that episode, Tara's like, hey, why don't you go tell the younglings what you learned, Ahsoka, which is makes his inclusion in Obi-Wan Kenobi so powerful because this show is about not letting, you know, younglings down.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, that was a sad moment.
It was indeed. So anyway, that's it for my Star Wars adventures. How about you, Ken?
I saw some of the tweets going, hope is alive. Hope is alive. It might just be the species, not Tara Sanube, but we always want to choose hope here. But I don't know. The storm clouds look pretty dark over that one. Yeah, for me, pretty simple. I was on the show Force 5 with Ken Plume, who is a friend of you, Joseph, and now a friend of mine. Yeah. The Kens have come together now, and it's a lot of fun. A great show about collecting Star Wars figures. You get to show them. It's like, you know, we did the Force Center show and tell for a while. It's like a super sized version of that. And I loved it. It was a lot of fun. And Ken was, we had a great conversation on and off air. But in getting prepped for that episode, I had to go into the storage shed. I needed to pull out some figures so I could show Ken on camera. And, you know, you and I, Joseph, always talk about our lack of storage, our figures being put away or, you know, not having enough room for it. And I hadn't faced that storage shed for about a year. I haven't gone in for about a year. So I had to do some cleanup. There were some bugs in there. I had to move to another location so they could live a happy life somewhere else. And I pulled out the old totes and started digging through. And I'm at this point where I'm like, maybe I should sell or just donate or get rid of some of this stuff, right? And I got to tell you, I didn't have an emotional reaction to a lot of the Funko Pops. to be honest, sorry, Funko, my stock in Funko is going up, but my heart is going down on my connection to them. But man, I pulled out a lot of the figures and just sat there in the storage shed, just going, oh yeah, I remember that one. And these are figures that these aren't like figures 40 years ago. These are figures like 3 years ago, 5 years ago. I have right with me now. I pulled it back out, but the one that Joseph, I think you and I don't, Jennifer, I can't remember if you got it too, but our friend of the show and listener Shaler helped us obtain the Rey and Luke Jedi training Black Series exclusives at San Diego Comic-Con, and I fortunately could no longer display it upon my recent move like last couple years, but I pulled it back out. I'm like, I'm gonna find a way to display this again. And it was just fun that we are so, as we approach, dear God, the 10-year anniversary of the Disney sale, that's enough amount of time that I've already got wonderful, warm memories attached to things that are still kind of brand new in my brain, but in my heart they're from a different era. So that was a lot of fun. Being on that show was great, but going into the shed and having memories from the heady days of 2017 was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, 5 years ago. And this is what I so love about action figures is they do just contain all sorts of different meaning. They're obviously the characters, the films, the stories are from, but then our own adventures of when did we get them? Who got them for us? When did we display them? When did we rediscover them? And it's so cool to hear you just experiencing some of those different levels of meaning. And some of them resonate, and others, like the poor Funkos, not resonating.
Not resonate. Some of them do. So I might pull some individual ones out, but we'll see. But we'll see. Look for a garage sale near you. Yeah, it's fun. I told the full story on the show there, but I pulled out my 3 3/4 Moff Gerard from the Saga collection mid-2000s because I have two of them because I was so excited. I accidentally bought the figure twice, not remembering I had bought it before. Because I bought it a bit of period of time between them, and that was the fun experience of going back out to my storage shed. Or back in the day, it was a different kind of location, but then going, oh, wait, I already bought it. Oopsie, but I'm so excited. So, a lot of fun stuff there. Check it out, Force 5 with our friend Ken Plume on his YouTube channel. And that was my Star Wars adventure.
Collecting. I really like That's imagining right. Jared Gerard instead of saying, we need more men, saying, you need more me.
You need more me. You need more me. Hey, you know what we need more news, and we need more quotes spinning off into several stories. One quote to rule all the stories, and it's a Taika Waititi tale. While speaking with Screen Rant, promoting Lightyear, I think he's in. Yeah, I think that's what it was. Mm. And he, of course, Taika Waititi, was asked about his Star Wars movie. So this is the one quote, and it's a good quote. We're going to talk about it here. Waititi had this to say when asked about it. That's yet to be seen. I don't know. I'm still writing. I'm still coming up with the ideas and storytelling it, and just wanted to make sure that it feels like a Star Wars film, because I could say, oh, yeah, we'll just write any old thing and set it in space and put Star Wars on the front. But it wouldn't be a Star Wars film without certain elements and a certain treatment. So I've just got to make sure that it stays within that wheelhouse. So let's dive into that quote there. But first of all, he's still writing, and I don't want to be one of those news sleuths, right? But I can't – that stood out to me. He's still writing. So what do we think now about the suggested December 2023 release date of this film? And we will be talking about the movie news possibly coming in the second half of our show here. But, Joseph, am I off base here that that's a little – he's still typing on the old typewriter?
You know, I don't think that takes a modern-day 21st century Sherlock Holmes to want to do some news sleuthing on that. I don't think Holmes needs to explain this one to Watson, put it that way. I am bracing for no film in 2023. I think in particular, you know, he says, I'm still coming up with the ideas and storylining it. It's not I'm refining the draft.
Right.
I'm still coming up with ideas and storylining it. To me, I mean, he's speaking on the red carpet on the fly promoting something else. So, you know, as always, give it a big grain of salt. Maybe he's being cheeky and he's working on the fourth draft. Maybe. But taking these words is utterly correct and valid from this wonderful creator's mouth. To me, in the writing process, what he's talking about is the very bleeping beginning. That is, I got some notes on my phone app. Jedi question mark. But I'm kind of being a little facetious, but it is those words indicate the very beginning of the process coming up with ideas and storylining it. So it sounds to me at most he knows the general idea and he's trying to find the plot to show the characters, tell the themes if he has that much. But it's not like it's not a couple months from filming is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, and things can move faster nowadays, but there's still a certain amount of time needed, especially for movies. And, you know, Doug Cheng and the, you know, concept team working on stuff, you know, they probably already are. This I could be confident in saying. But, yeah, Jen, does he have the notes app open, as Joseph has suggested?
I love that. I could totally see him doing that. That's what makes it so funny. You know, it is too tight of a time frame, right? And what's funny is as I was reading his quote, I was just thinking about the behind the scenes of Andor. All those sets, all those costumes, all the creatures, right? All those things have to be made. I mean, obviously they can pull aliens and stuff from other films and shows, but that's a lot of planning, a lot of prepping. they can't do it. And then if you have special effects, like, it takes time. So I'm bracing for impact. And the only other thing is that he's really just totally lying, not lying, playing coy, right? And just, but I don't think so. I think he read the Vanity Fair article like us, and he's like, oh, I need to really make sure that this fits with everything that's going on in Star Wars.
That's a really funny picture of Taika Waititi just kicking back with a drink, reading that article and going, whoa, I'm next. Okay.
Yeah. You know, he would be one to be a little cheeky, but this seems like a pretty honest answer. It's starting to, 2023 ain't that far away.
No.
That's what's crazy. I'm thinking, this is January 2022. You could shoot a film. And say, oh, no. Mm-hmm. We are in the summer season here almost of 2022.
Yeah. The other thing with this with me is I think there might be some discussion of like, well, they can shoot faster if they shoot on the volume.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I kind of think, you know, the volume is creeping into use in films, very famously, a big important scene in The Batman. They couldn't go back to the location. They, you know, used the volume and more things. I don't remember what all the other films, but other films are using it. So I think that the volume for the return to the big screen of Star Wars would be used in some scenes. Mm-hmm. But I would think that they want to differentiate the big screen work and not do the whole film on the volume. That's my instinct. But what do you guys think?
Jen?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think location, right? Especially now that things are opening back up, the world is opening back up. I can see them wanting to go to, you know, shoot somewhere in Europe, or on an island or whatever, wherever. We don't know a story, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that makes the most sense. But that's interesting. Could you tell in the I haven't seen the Batman movie. Could you tell what scene it was with the volume at all? Or was it pretty seamless?
I already knew. So it made me, I think I could tell because I knew. I think if I didn't know, I wouldn't have thought about it at all. I would have been too engaged in the story. But like when the scene started, I was like, this is the volume scene. But it wasn't, you know, I didn't think it was like, it's like suddenly noticeable. Like, I don't think I would have noticed it if I hadn't known.
Was Batman on Navarro? How did that work out?
Grief Cargo's like, they all hate you, the Batman.
Crossover we've been waiting for.
I would pay good money to hear that Batman movie.
Yeah. Ken, what do you think? I know you've gone up and down with the volume. Yeah. Do you think that is a priority for Lucasfilm to say when we return Star Wars to the big screen, we'll maybe use the volume for some pinch hitting, but we want to have real sets, real locations for the return to the big screen.
Yeah, and I think that stopping short of saying it'd be a mandate or anything like that. They'd love to push the technology, but yeah, I mean, I just look at that trailer of Andor and I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with it because the way I feel it looks. And again, noticing something doesn't necessarily mean the effect is bad. We've talked about that before here too. And I think you even in a way are kind of addressing that with the Batman thing, Joseph, of like, hey, it's there. But also I got into the scene or whatever it might be. So I don't know. I just think overall the look, and it's not even about some of the criticisms that have been tossed at all the shows. You've seen it a little bit with Kenobi, Boba Fett, Mando. And I was one of the ones tossing those grenades at Mando season one, like you referenced. I just think I wouldn't mind, it feeling bigger and bolder. And until the volume can replicate that, I just think of JJ in the desert. And John Boyega going, why do we have to be here? It's the lighting. We've got to be here. It's got to look real. It's got to feel real. Right. That's not always the way it can go. Budgets are still budgets. I think Star Wars movies got to have that feel. And I'm speaking vaguely, but I think we all know that feel that it needs to have, or we want it to have.
Yeah. And if nothing else, it's just we're going all out. Here's the three countries we filmed in. Yeah. Just from a...
Yeah.
Publicity standpoint, and this is a short window for publicity too. If the film was, they're trying to hit December 2023, and after one of the potential problems of Solo was not enough marketing lead time, I would imagine that's a consideration as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we'll talk a little bit more in the second half of the show about any kind of updates coming up. But yeah, that one just, more than anything that stood out of this little piece here, because I think the highlight, a lot of people will talking about Taika once again acknowledging, his style versus the Star Wars style. And I want to talk about that. It's old news. Taika's style mixing with the Star Wars wheelhouse is old news at this point, but it's a question that never goes away. So I like kind of a temperature check on Taika and Star Wars. He has one great sample, Mando Chapter 8, which is a wonderful, wonderful chapter of that story. I love it. I don't go to the humor parts of it first. I go to the heart, and he's able to do that so well. So where are we at with this quandary in 2022? And Jennifer, for you, you're kind of entering the chat now for this. Jennifer has entered the chat. I want to get some of your thoughts on Taika's style and the Star Wars style. Is the concern overblown? He's a smart creator. He gets the differences. He's not going to put a Flight of the Conchords beat into Star Wars unless he feels it would work. Oh. And I'm a huge Flight of the Conchords fan.
Me too.
Yeah. So what do you think, Jen?
Oh, you know, I this is where I come down, because directing an episode in a series is very different than obviously, you know, doing this a big Star Wars movie. I come back to that Vanity Fair article. They're really saying these things have to be cohesive. There has to be a specific tone. It has to feel like Star Wars. And immediately I then think of Lord and Miller, who I've been listening to them on all these other podcasts because they had the Apple Plus series, what was it, the After Party that came out recently? Mm-hmm. And they've talked about what happened with them and Solo and Lucasfilm. And basically, you know, kind of similar in the sense that they have their own specific style. They have things that they wanted to try and wanted to do and kind of push the envelope. And it became very clear that they could not do that within the Star Wars framework. Mm-hmm. I think it can be very challenging for these visionaries, as they all are, Taika Waititi and Lord Miller. How do you push the envelope without getting rid of what we've talked about, right? The core, I think he can absolutely, you know, write things with heart and things like that, but there is kind of a certain recipe. So what type of story is he going to tell? I don't think that his humor would necessarily work with, you know, Jedi and Sith per se. So then maybe they goes off with some scoundrels or with some droids, or I don't know. I guess that was kind of what I was thinking about. What kind of story? They haven't mentioned it, right, at all. Mm-mm. Nothing. So I think that that's going to be very telling, because I want him to push the envelope, and I love so much of how he did that with Thor. So yeah. I'm stuck.
No, it's an interesting conversation, you know, when it comes to, you know, creativity and that Kathleen Kennedy guardrails conversation a couple weeks ago, to me, was not about creative obstacles in front of the creators. It was about the heart of Star Wars and being at that. And look, you want creators to create, to be themselves. But there's also realities. I always go to the example of if you're a late night talk show host, are you a 12:30 host or 11:30 host? There's a difference. And yes, you're always going to want people to try something new and push boundaries. But a lot of times you find when that happens, it doesn't work. And if you don't change or adjust, it can hurt the product. That's just the way it is. And, you know, yes, looking at you, Conan. So
I was just going to say that, Conan. I love Conan. But
he was stubborn. He was stubborn to a fault on that. If you read the book, he was stubborn to a fault on that. A lot of other things, a lot of other factors, and dark side energy from someone in classic cars around here. But it's a deeper story. But yeah, so as someone who I like to think is creative, or at least used to be at one point in my life, you know, it's you want to push boundaries, but you got to be careful. And I think he's every time he talks about it, I think he gets it.
Yes.
But that said, I still wonder in my head though. I'm like, I think, oh, he totally gets it. I'm a big fan. Oh God, what are we going to get? Like, that's what I have every time. That's why I think I want to still talk about it, Joseph.
Yeah, no, I really agree with a lot of what Jennifer said. And also I really relate with your perspective, Ken, of like, it's a really fascinating style to mix with Star Wars. I mean, I think the thing like that guardrails quote with Kathleen Kennedy, I think it's pretty clear to me in her quote, my reading of her quote, that she is not talking about tone or about a medium or about plot structure. She's talking about core ideals, about their guardrails around the thematic ideas.
Yes.
And I think that the tension for me with Solo might have come from it wasn't a, hey, Lord Miller, what part of the galaxy do you want to go explore and what characters do you want to play with? Let's blue sky it and start from ground zero. Is that they came in to handle, you know, the Kasdan script. And that with a legacy character, you know, and to me that that question is, will it go better to bring in artists and try to give them as much elbow room as possible to have their vision if you're allowing, if you're going to different parts of it rather than, you know, I would imagine, I don't know, I wasn't on set, but like Lawrence Kasdan is one of the people who made Han Solo who he is.
Right.
There was a vision in that script and there's a tension there too, where in film, it is culturally agreed upon that we discuss the director as the final creative voice. Maybe I have some baggage on that because I'm a writer. But hey, I kind of think the writers, particularly one of them being Lawrence Kasdan, writing about Han Solo, I think a lot of the vision was already on the page.
Yeah.
So to me, that's a little bit of a different story. And I think I think that there have been lots of examples where creators who have a strong voice and a strong vision have found a way that works for them to play in this shared universe. I think Rian Johnson has a strong vision, and you can make direct connections between The Last Jedi and every other film that Rian Johnson has made. I think Jon Favreau is a powerful personality and creator, and he has found a way to play in the shared universe, and we're only going to get more examples of that. And I think Taika Waititi has demonstrated that he is somebody who can have his vision and still play in a shared universe. People have walked away from the MCU because they don't have as much freedom as they want. Taika Waititi has found a way to play in it. Mm. The other thing is, with Taika Waititi's in this position where he can have both extremes of the creative dream. He can play in a shared universe with some guardrails, and then if he's a little bummed out by that, maybe he'll just go write another indie film and win another Oscar.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's in this position. I look at that with creators of what is their career and what are they choosing to do based on it? You know, he can play in the shared universe, or he can go and have a thriving career as an indie filmmaker. You know, he can express himself that way.
It's true.
Yeah. Mm. Final thought for me is just really, really agreeing with what Jennifer, you were saying about the where is his story and who is it dealing with? Because I think when I think of his style, there's the deep emotional realism. There's the kind of having fun with fantastic worlds. But the Taika thing, Ken, that maybe sometimes you wrestle with, I think is that a ton of his comedy is contrasting the epic with the mundane, right? It's, you know, he's not the only auteur involved in What We Do in the Shadows, but a ton of that is these are epic vampires and they're having roommate bickering. You know, in Thor, it's like this is about colonialism, and this is about being betrayed by your parent figures, and this is about gods battling one another. And then the comedy comes from like Korg saying "piss off, ghost," and like this really real world mundane thing in contrast to the epicness. Even in his one Star Wars so far, the humor comes from the biker scouts kind of shooting the breeze like they're just day workers on a job, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the biggest question is. Exactly what you said, Jennifer, is like, is this a story about scoundrels? Is this a story about, you know, a Quinlan Voss-like Jedi who goes their own way? Like, what era, what story, what characters can he still do that epic versus the mundane humor in a way that doesn't feel like we're undercutting or making fun of Star Wars?
That's the challenge. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. And I've as said before, I'll say again for anyone relatively new to the show, like, some of the examples you're showing are some of my favorite things out there, like What We Do in the Shadows and about halfway through our Flag Means Death, and which is wonderful and all the stuff. Yeah. And then you highlight something that, I don't know, maybe you and I haven't talked about too much in there, but that wasn't like my favorite scene. And it made me go, yeah, a couple times. And so like that's why I have a little bit of trepidation, but I'm excited because I think you're right. I think it's not just about being a team player. That's a general statement, but his ability to work well and create do what he wants to do, but also just kind of bring the job home in a good way, in the right way. Is something I'm definitely excited to have in Star Wars and to see, to be clear. But yeah, I think you're right. Maybe that's some insight as to why I still go, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a quote.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. I think I've said before, I think that opening scene of his episode of Mandalorian, like one of the best Stormtroopers aren't great shots jokes, just executed well. One of the best Stormtroopers are bad shots jokes, but also like, I'm good with those.
Yeah.
We've right. had several decades of those. I don't need any more myself personally as a fan.
Yeah. Yeah, that yeah, if you ever specifically I did not like when they heard Moff Gideon killing people or something. I was like, that's not happening. It's not happening right now. That's a beat. That's a comedy beat that I don't think's happening back at the base. But or back at the bar. But that's just me. That's just me. That is just me. So, yeah, To bring it all home here, yeah, this is just like I said, a temperature check. It changes. It will change again once we get an announcement, and it's Taika Waititi presents a young girl who hangs around with the visions of Palpatine or something like that, and it's got a warm heart and a weird concept. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we'll recheck what we feel about it here. But we'll talk about in the second half of the show about that December 2023 release date. A lot of numbers in that sentence, Ken. Before we take a quick break, we're going to do a Force Center recommends. You know, Joseph, I changed it last minute and I realized that's probably not on your sheet. So recommend what you want.
How about we do two recommendations?
There you go.
I want to recommend Leia, Princess of Alderaan by Claudia Gray, because I think it is a great book. And if people have their minds on little Leia, man, does the Obi-Wan Kenobi show so far line up with the younger princess that we're meeting in that book. So that's my recommendation. What is yours, Ken?
Mine was Brotherhood by Mike Chen, to go back to that, just because you really love the building blocks of the Brotherhood there that's going to come into play and is in play right now in the Kenobi series. So there you go. Leia, Princess of Alderaan, Brotherhood by Mike Chen. Two books that you can get, you can choose, or you can get both, but download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, quick break. Other side, some more news here on Force.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Force Center, the big show, the superstar destroyer of our news fleet. I'm slightly a little bit more exhausted today because I haven't had solid food for like 2 days. I'm prepping for, I'm getting ahead of my prep for a colonoscopy on Wednesday. Everyone get checked. It's vitally important. So, but I started to get ahead of it and I've just been on like a broth and applesauce and I think I'm hangry and tired. Wow.
Yeah. Understandably so. Yeah. You're getting a real early start. Yeah. Which is smart. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you about the prep email I got too late where I'm like, well, I can't do that. I'm already past the date. Ah, I better catch up. Health insurance and health care is fun in America. Anyways, different conversation, different podcast. All right, let's continue with the news. Hey, with Star Wars Celebration not enough for you? Don't you worry. You can pack your bags and get ready for D23. The 2022 D23 Expo is September 9th through September 11th, just a couple months away. And we got some presentations announced. And as expected, Lucasfilm front and center. We now know that Saturday, September 10th, will be the day for films and television. But that's also the day I'm seeing a Lady Gaga concert. I think you are too, Joseph. So it's going to be a different day for us.
It's a big day for us. From Star Wars to Gaga. And Gaga should be in Star Wars, as we both talked about it.
So. Oh, she belongs in Star Wars. I have an idea. I'm gonna yell from my seat to the stage. I got a Star Wars pitch for you. She won't hear me. And Lucasfilm is part of that lineup at the 10 a.m. presentation, which promises exclusive footage and information on what else is in the works. Ooh, question mark. What do we think about this? Star Wars movie news was very much not part of Star Wars Celebration news. So is this the spot for it, Jennifer? Are we getting the announcement that, yes, Taika Waititi's been told to go finish a movie in a month, and it's coming December 2023? What do you think?
Yeah, that would be a real surprise. I think that this is the place, if we're going to get it, that we would get some, just one piece of information on a Star Wars movie. I think that Marvel is going to dominate the conversation. I mean, we just had Celebration, right? You know, but this would have been a perfect place for them to, you know, talk about Patty Jenkins' movie, which is obviously not happening.
Yeah.
And I looked, I was like, okay, what else is in the works? I could not find anything. So if they are going to announce something that we don't, it's going to be a big surprise, I think. Do you think that they could possibly be in pre-production on something right now? I don't know. They could just be showing concept art, which I'll take it. Whatever they want to give us, I'll eat it up.
Along with the convention floor hot dog over down there in Anaheim. Yeah, agree with everything you say there, Jennifer. Yeah, we don't know. Is this the time where they go, guess what? All those rumors were true. We've had three movies secretly made. All right, here they are. Probably the case. Joseph, what do you think about this panel on September 10th?
Yeah, I think I was reading that this one is a shared panel between Marvel and Lucasfilm, which is fascinating because Marvel in general has a lot more projects announced and they're just putting out more, right? Especially on like Disney Plus. So I think that'll be an interesting balance if there's any desire for Lucasfilm to keep up with Marvel. Or if there'll be more. It's a 60-40 thing. In terms of movies, I really think that there's a possibility of a title and a new date for Taika's movie. Like if they wanted to get ahead of it's not happening in December 2023, but mark your calendars for June 2024. I mean, I know a lot of these calendars are released with a lot of Disney movies, so there is a real question of like, well, where would a big movie like that land? But they shuffle things all the time in this day and age. So I think that's a slim possibility, a title and a new date, or even just a new date. I think if they were in the business of just hinting and wanted to say something about the movies, Kathleen Kennedy in that Vanity Fair article mentioned that there's kind of a spine to what they're looking at for the film slate. And I think there's a big question of, is that an era? Is that a new family? Is that a new, you know, little quadrant of the galaxy that's having their own little conflict? Whatever that might be, I don't think it's likely, but that's another thing that they could say, like, here's what the movies will be dealing with, right? If the movies were going to be all set in the Old Republic, I don't think they are, but they have something as simple and exciting to say as that, and then the movies will be heading to the Old Republic. But, you know, my actual thought on the films is there have been a lot of 3D re-releases announced and coming up with like Jaws 40th anniversary. And like if Star Wars is not going to be back in the movie theaters for a while, and with the goodwill toward the prequels, is there any possibility of like, and we're going back to that 3D project that George started, but with new 3D, yeah. And you know, hey, everybody's saying that there's a big appetite for the prequels. All right, let's re-release them in 3D in the theaters.
Yeah, maybe George would come out with it. Yeah, he could announce it.
You think George would be there? This is a wild prediction from Jen. I love this.
It's bold. Yeah, you don't know. But that would be make quite an impact, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it would. Look, at that, and again, going back to Star Wars Celebration, there was, you can't deny it, there was no, it's just a fact, there was no movie news, and no, just didn't have the energy of the movies, new movies being talked about there at all, right? No look forward. And I kind of took that as intentional, kind of took that as, hey, D23 is around the corner. You got Comic-Con too. They're not planning anything there. So D23 just makes a lot of sense to me. But I really like the idea. This is, I guess you could count it as a bit of a wild prediction or hope that you put out there, Joseph, of just like, hey, cool. Yeah. We talked about this. Here's what we're looking at, right? Not necessarily projects, but names, titles, whatever, but just like, here's where we're going. Here's the direction we're going. This is that presentation. It's a clue to what is in the works as part of this description. And then, hey, by the way, here's a scene from Andor or something like that. That makes a lot of sense to me. Or maybe, you know, just a kind of confirmation of times as well. And I'm, for one, too, I got to say, this December 2023 thing, there's no problem. There's no shame. There's no, ooh, something's going on there. If they just say, hey, that's not working for us anymore. Yep. By the way, the world's been a little tough the last 2-3 years. Things are a little different. Making things has become a little different. And then we ourselves wanted to go, hold on, let's see where we're going here. And I wouldn't mind even that being said in some sort of happy D23 way.
I'm with that. I mean, I think, you know, as a fan of the movies, I'm eager to have that theatrical experience again. I'm eager to go to a movie theater and see a new Star Wars and see what the new Star Wars in the theater is going to be in contrast to Disney Plus. I'm super eager for that, but I more want to be patient and wait until it is, you know, they feel really confident about it and that it has plenty of room for the hype machine to build up. It's worth the wait to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. But we always do try to find hope around here first. We always look to hope. Joseph, you kind of even touched upon it in the other news story. But what if they don't announce movie news at all? At all. Just, here's Andor. Disney Nature's Bears 2 is coming out, the documentary, everything, and there's nothing. And then, hey, Indy 5. Maybe we get a little more from Indy 5. This is Lucasfilm after all. Here's another scene from Willow or something like that, which are all, I love that Willow trailer. I'm excited for that. And there's just nothing. Just nothing. What is our honest reaction as fans? Podcaster second, fans first. Jennifer, what do you think?
I'll be disappointed, but it's basically like birthdays, right? So we just had our big birthday party with Star Wars Celebration. We got a ton of presents in the news of all these shows and clips and whatnot. So now we're going to someone else's birthday party, and you know, we're going to get a favor for participating. But really it's like Marvel and Disney's birthday that we're attending. We're the cousins. So as Star Wars fans, I'm bracing myself. We're probably not going to get much, to be honest, because it was just our birthday. We got a ton of good stuff. And as you know, the parents are going to be like, what do you want from us? We gave you all this good stuff. Be happy. Here's your party favor on the way out.
Kathleen Kennedy takes a stage and goes, be happy. I'm out of here. You got gifts already.
What do you want? It's your sibling's birthday, so you get one present.
Yeah, exactly.
I really like that. I think for me, like I was saying, apologies if I jumped the gun on your question, Ken. But yeah,
no,
I'm so eager, but I would rather have patience, and I don't want them to rush to announce things. I wonder sometimes, you know, with Lucasfilm, Kathleen Kennedy leads Lucasfilm, but Lucasfilm is part of Disney. And if maybe like announcing the Patty Jenkins film was that too early, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't want them to announce anything until everyone on the team is super, super firm on it. And it's not just another Star Wars movie. It's not just like, when is the next one coming out? It's not Marvel. It's the reinvention of Star Wars on the big screen.
Yeah.
And I would love to be able, as fans, to take a break from the nostalgia debate and have whatever they present feel like Star Wars for sure. You know, follow those thematic guardrails, obviously, and make you feel excited to see Star Wars again, but have it be something that's truly fresh so we can move away from the nostalgia debate and just get excited about the return of Star Wars on the big screen. That's what I want, and I want it to take as long as it needs to, you know, ultimately, because that's going to give me the best fan experience in the end.
Yeah, no, that's great answers from both of you there. No, you didn't jump the gun. It's so intertwined, these two stories this week. I mean, you listen to Taika Waititi quote and then realize D23 is around the corner. You know, he's got to be like, and I've got to finish the script in 6 weeks because we're going to announce it. No, and look, as I touched upon during the lead up to Kenobi, when with his name Stuart Beatty, like, I mean, you know, he told a friend, I'll be at D23 to announce the Kenobi movie. It never happened. You know, things change. Things change, and I'm okay with it. I think my honest reaction as a fan is I'm antsy because of what you're talking about, Joseph. This is like me being real honest. Like, I'm nervous about the new film simply because it's going to put me in a spot that isn't comfortable as a fan. I always say, oh, you guys listen to this show long enough, you hear me go, I love the 19 years between episode 3 and episode 4. I really do. That's why I love Andor. I love Kenobi. You know, want to spend more time there. Give me the Rise of Chirper during that era. Come on, let's do it. But I know, The Light of the Jedi was the first book that comes out of the High Republic era. And I remember starting to read that going, I don't know. I just don't know. And then I was like, oh, blown away. So I'm antsy to know where my next challenge comes as a Star Wars fan, where I'm going to be forced to look at things a little differently, even to hear my, you know, that little shadow of trepidation with Taika Waititi is just me going, oh, it's not going to be Luke and Leia and Han. It's not going to be Rey, Finn and Poe. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And that's kind of exciting and fun, but also makes me nervous. So I just kind of want to get that. But also to what you're saying, Jen, is the last 5-6 years, the Star Wars discussions are based around a lot of the news cycle stuff. And we just come to expect announcements and we think we've unlocked the keys, right? We just know, like, it's a playbook. Oh, D23, they'll do this. Investor Day, they'll do this. Disney Plus, they do this. And they don't always have to. It's just something, the ways they've done things before. And some of that stuff didn't work. Again, looking to that Rogue Squadron video, which, again, not saying the movie's done, but we all got hyped. I loved it. I was moved by it. I had tears in my eyes. Now I'm like, well, I guess that was fun. We'll see if that ever happens, which is okay. Again, I go to Iger going, yeah, it was me. I wanted Solo in May. I did that. I'll fall on that sword. And who in Lucasfilm, Kathleen Kennedy, otherwise was going, no, December, give us time. You know, I would be very curious to see. They're not going to announce it at D23. So I told Bob Chapek, no, there's a lot at play and we just come to expect news and the news we want, not the news that they're prepared to get. So keep an open mind. And maybe it's just Disney nature's bears, too.
Yeah, I mean, I Jennifer, I love your analogy about we just had a birthday. But I also think that they have a very, very full amount of things to release on the Disney Plus side that that still makes sense. I think there's a possibility of no Star Wars news, absolutely making a big deal out of Indy because that is Lucasfilm. And I do want Lucasfilm to do other things that aren't just Star Wars. But looking at the timing and on the Disney Plus side, this is ripe for the next Andor final Andor trailer, right? That could really show us a different angle of the show because it's so close to the premiere. I think I don't want to forget the benefit that we got to see Mandalorian season 3 and Ahsoka, but that would blow the doors off the place to just have a public season 3 Mandalorian trailer and a public Ahsoka trailer. That's huge, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
And then if it's just like just images or just new information, We're set to get more information on Acolyte or Skeleton Crew, and they can also potentially get big waves out of just announcing another Disney Plus show for 2024 or beyond, because Marvel's going to be announcing thing after thing, and if their current plan is to keep putting out shows on Disney Plus, we're kind of due soon for a far off, you just know the title, 2024 or beyond Disney Plus show announcement.
Yeah. Yeah, I also like that pitch. Marvel, thing after thing. That's what we do.
Well, they have rights to the character, the Thing, now, so they can do thing after thing about the Thing.
Oh, there we go. So, Jen, Joseph and I will be, separately, by the way, we both independently with our partners are going to Lady Gaga. So we just, it's a fun day. Are you going to Lady Gaga or D23? You choose,
no, Jen. I have no plans to go to D23 as of now. I'd love to go. I remember when I worked at Disneyland, it was just like the collecting convention, if I remember correctly, which is just crazy to think. Here we are. Yeah, I don't have any plans. I will be watching the screen. Hopefully they'll live stream it. That would be really great. But yeah, you know what? Now that, Joseph, you just made me think about all these things that we just got, right? Like, we got all these toys. Now the parents are telling us to play with them. Like, here, we're gonna play with these, with all these announcements that you got. So we're gonna show you a little bit more of how these toys work.
It really is. Like, we just gave you this action figure. Now we're giving you, you know, the tiger, this figure ride.
Whatever. Right. Piece by piece. Yeah, we're building our collection. Exactly.
I could also tell the wonderful perspective Jen is bringing to our Star Wars conversation. Just play with your toys. I got you. Just play with your toys.
You know,
those are mom's toys. Do not touch mom's Jen.
I know.
Jen Erso.
My daughter's birthday is this week. And so I've been navigating that, and we've been having like all these different kind of celebrations. And I'm like, okay, well, you're getting this toy today, and then you're going to get another one, maybe, you know. And then my 2-year-old's like, where are my toys? Like, your birthday's in August. So that's where my mind is.
I do recall a few years in my early youth where, yes, I got a gift on my sister's birthday and vice versa. Now I see. Sorry, sorry, mom. Sorry, dad.
Just a little something.
There we go.
It's a nice tradition for siblings. Yeah. Right. A little something.
There we go.
The siblings.
As we wrap up discussion on this one here, any wild predictions? Any just let's go crazy? Does Lady Gaga come out and say, I'm in Star Wars and I've got to get to Dodger Stadium fast? What do we think, Joseph?
I absolutely want Gaga is traveling the galaxy with the Lulilo Primark. It's a Disney Plus show. There we go.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Love it. Jen, any wild predictions?
I want Taika Waititi to be like, surprise, I fooled you all. And he drops this like cape and he comes out and unveils this wonderful project that they've been secretly working on in pre-production. I have no idea.
That's my wild prediction is, guess what? We did do Old Republic. We got 3 movies coming out. Get ready. No, I don't know. I don't know. At this point, I'll take anything. And Jen, your point too. I've been to 1D23, 2015. And I remember going, man, there's just a whole lot of collector pins here. This is all this is.
Right.
This is all this is.
Yes.
The wildest thing that I can actually think of that's not Gaga related is if there is any post-sequel content in the work. I'm thinking about that amazing, Ewan McGregor coming out, at an event. Is the mic drop at the end, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's happening, but if they're doing a Rey Builds the Jedi series on Disney Plus and, we got one more thing and Daisy Ridley comes out, that would be like the wildest thing.
Oh, that's good.
That would be great. I would love that. And I would love that to be a complete surprise if it happens. All right. That's our look at Star Wars news. There's, as always, a lot of other things out there. Some we're just trying to avoid. A lot of the news this past week has been, hey, I'm a writer, and here's what I thought about the thing I wrote in Star Wars. And we'll get to that when the show Kenobi is all done. Interesting, fun little article with the Hollywood Reporter of Hayden Christensen and his thoughts of the series so far. Some stuff about George and the prequels. Check that out there. But that's the news we want to discuss today. Before we get out of here, we want to talk about this week in Star Wars history, looking ahead to Star Wars past. On June 15th, 1976, speaking of news, Variety magazine dropped the hot scoop that Hammer horror film mainstay Peter Cushing would be joining actor, strongman, and street-crossing PSA icon David Prowse in the upcoming George Lucas space fantasy project. They revealed the name, Grand Moff Tarkin, and that Prowse would be playing a, quote, huge masked villain. It's fun to look back at the news before the world knew. I really love that. I love that just going, I don't know. We'll see. He's got a mask. I don't know. But how key are these two to A New Hope as villains and to the Star Wars template of the Imperials, the bad guy, the Sith, all those kind of things. And what are some of our favorite little small defining moments with them in A New Hope? Jennifer, start with you. Tarkin, Vader, Cushing, Prowse. What do you think?
Oh my gosh. I can't imagine Star Wars without these two. Peter Cushing, you know, from what was so surprising for me as a child watching him was how terrifying I thought him to be and just how cruel he was to Princess Leia. That was really surprising for me. I was like, oh my gosh, because he seems so civilized and, you know, but he is an awful, awful man. That was wonderful. And he made a lasting impression on me. And of course, David Prowse, I mean, his performance, his physical performance is just so menacing. I mean, it's just amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And these two, their lasting presence continues today, right? I mean, I compare the new Vaders with David Prowse's performance, and I think that they're doing a fantastic job, the two men in Kenobi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agree with that there. Great stuff. Do you have any small favorite moments of them that you like?
Oh, small favorite moments. I think specifically from A New Hope, just seeing David Prowse's Vader, you know, walking with his cape billowing behind him. Such a striking image. And for me as a child, like, capes meant heroes. Mm-hmm. And to see this villain wearing this flowing black cape, it was, again, also something so terrifying. And Peter Cushing, his face is so, like, sharp and angular. I went to Bad Robot, and they have inside in their lobby, they have like a bust of Peter Cushing as Tarkin there. And it's just amazing to see his face. It looks so lifelike, and it's just so angular and sharp. He's just so perfect to play that character. I can't imagine anyone else in that role.
Indeed. Joseph, your thoughts on these two and any little moments you like?
Yeah, I love imagining people not knowing and probably being like, yeah, fantasy, what's a Grand Moff Tarkin? What is that? Some sort of, is that a breakfast food he's playing? What the hell is, you know? Yeah. That's always fun to think about, that level of not knowing the cultural impact these characters would make. I think that first film, your question, Ken, about their importance is that they are these two different depictions of evil, both of which are important in Star Wars. Vader is like, he's all the fantasy and the opera, right? The terrifying otherworldly villain in a mask, in a cape, who, you know, I think captured people's imagination because he somehow looked exciting and fresh, and you've never seen anything quite like Vader, and yet he kind of feels like he sauntered out of the Brothers Grimm. You know, he's just like this new vision of an ancient figure, but it's all, you know, we don't get his full story in A New Hope at all. But even once we do, it still all lines up that he is the fantasy. He is the operatic, the tragic, you know. And in contrast, Tarkin is just such a recognizable human evil, right?
Yeah.
The rigid gentleman monster who speaks nicely but is so cruel, like Jennifer is saying, an authoritarian, you know, and violence and domination is just the swift, easy answer to everything. They're such, you know, poles of what, you know, violence and domination can look like, that I think that's why they're so important to A New Hope. And then to see them kind of have this sort of banter and back and forth and a relationship that's fun to pull apart. I was thinking about like individual moments, and what I ended up doing this morning is watching the scene in A New Hope together where Vader tells Tarkin that Obi-Wan is there. It's always a scene that's fascinated me, but it's become even more fascinating in the middle of the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. I've always loved Tarkin's line in particular. The Jedi are extinct. Their fire has gone out of the universe. You, my friend, are all that's left of their religion. It's just such great tip of the iceberg storytelling, and in that crisp British militarized voice. Invader's line at the end, escape is not his plan. I must face him alone. Like, again, you don't know why. You assume like that is part of Vader's ethos. or that just an assignment that Vader's given himself. It's just like that those scenes are so intriguing because you emotionally get what's going on, but you don't know all the answers. So you're invited to wonder. And I love that about Star Wars.
Yeah. You're invited to wonder about what other horrible things Tarkin has done. Yes.
Exactly. Indeed.
Yeah. As far as me, as far as like the template side of it, of what they've helped establish for me with Tarkin, it's, what Cushing brought, yes, with that angular face you're talking about, Jen, just the icy cold stillness of what I would later say, you know, evil and all these kind of big thematic things and important things to learn. But as a kid, it was just like all this stuff was going on around him, and he never lost his composure. But I don't mean that in like a good job you target. I mean, just like it's always stood out to me that it's just calculating. It's cold. It's chilly. It's what I would come to associate with the Empire. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a dark Sith Lord behind it all, and Vader's got his rage issues and all those kind of things. But just him sitting there, just kind of like, you know, you're far too trusty. All that kind of just like fun quotes that me and my friends would share back and forth all comes from Peter Cushing, just kind of playing it as the calm face of evil. And that is something that carries on throughout, I think, all of Star Wars there. And Vader, you talk about him walking through the hallway. I had the same thought, Jen, of even when we first see him and hands on hip, cape billowing out behind him, and how we look in 2022 and compare it to that. And yeah. Compare any new person or any animated version of Vader, we compare it to that. And David Prowse did bring that to the character. And even though he might have been famously dubbed over and famously upset about that, and, you know, he absolutely just the physicality he brought is so key. And I think that's my little favorite moment with him is him just kind of not even the first hallway entrance there in New Hope, but just him kind of walking around the corridor afterwards, the way he stumbled, you know, he's not stumbling, but he's just, you know, stomping around and mm-hmm. upright, straight, the cape, all that stuff saves me. And then Tarkin, his final moment, I think that's just, you talk about overconfidence, talk about the state of the Empire and why they could be toppled because they just didn't think they could. And evacuate on our moment of triumph. Love that moment. And Cushing played it perfectly. So there you go. Tarkin and Vader, where would Star Wars be without them? Looking back to the news on June 15th, 1976. We're out of here today, my friends. We've got a full week of stuff coming your way. A little switch in the Kenobi coverage. I will cop to that, admit to that. When I scheduled an appointment weeks ago, I forgot to look at the Kenobi schedule. So Joseph and I will be going in deep on Kenobi a little bit later, probably midday Thursday.
But always on the move, yes.
Oh, I've learned my lesson. I now mark when shows are coming out on calendars because they're part of the workload. They're part of the workload. And holy moly, August, I can't, man. Andor, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, or House of Dragon, all the same, like weekend type of Ooh. Situation. That's going to be a fun but interesting part of all of our lives there.
Yes. Wow.
Well, it's a good time to be a nerd. Anyway, so I just want to update you all on that. All shows will be out, just maybe a slightly different schedule this week, thanks to me. You can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We are on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're available on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts as well, and many other spots. Just search or find us. If you can review us and you want to give us a nice review or a rating on one of those spots, please do. On Spotify, we'd love to get up to 300 reviews. We're up to almost 1,000 on Apple Podcasts. That helps the show grow. It really, truly does. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. You can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. You can follow me at Cad Knapsack or go to my website, cadknapsack.com. As always, we like to highlight things and areas of concern that is on our minds, and maybe they could be on yours. Jennifer, you've been mentioning this one here too, but I wanted to go back to it as well. The Amidala Initiative for Equality Texas is still going. They're accepting donations as they get towards their goal. This is put together by a lot of wonderful people in the Star Wars discussion community. So go ahead and check that out on GoFundMe. Just search for the Amidala Initiative for Equality Texas. Jennifer, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Jennifer Landa and TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138 for a very thoughtful and riveting discussion. I have a new video coming out soon about the aliens in Kenobi because, you know, I love them. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any organizations to share this week, but I will agree with Ken. The Amidala Initiative is fantastic. And they're also on Twitter at Amidala Helps.
Perfect. Thank you so much for adding that Twitter handle. Joseph, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. Look for more action figure sharing coming on all social media. And you can go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for lots of other adventures. I want to continue to promote Vote Forward. There's a lot going on right now. and if you want to have your voice heard, it is important to vote. And I think encourage others to use their power. Vote Forward is an organization where you can send letters to voters encouraging them to use their power. If you're interested, you can go to their website at votefwd.org.
Good stuff. Good stuff indeed. As we always say, do it for Padme. Vote and support Amidala Initiative. Truly in our hearts today. So there you go, my friends. That is it. So for Taika Waititi and his ever debated style in Star Wars, we will see you next time here on Foresight.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.